I just want to read the first three verses of Romans chapter 1 again, and then kind of go somewhere else. Still talking about the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, I can't not read the next verse, and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And I will stop there. I'm going to go somewhere different than where I planned, and that's Walter's fault. Because last week, and I do want to say this, last week, when Walter got to talking about the gospel and about the power of the gospel, I agree with everything he said. And I was going to say half of what he said today. So I'm going to go on a little somewhere different and then probably come back to it next week and say it again. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And also to the Greek. It's not a but, it's an and. It's the gospel of the circumcision, it's the gospel of the uncircumcision. And it's the same gospel. There's only one. There's only one gospel. And it's the gospel of God concerning his Son. It's the gospel of Christ. But where I want to go to today is Hebrews chapter 10. Because last week I spoke from Isaiah 53, which it's of my personal opinion, when you read from Isaiah 53, you can't go wrong if you believe what the book says. And John 17 is also one of those places. But in Isaiah 53, we saw the Messiah prophesied. And what the Messiah would do. And what the Messiah would endure. And what was laid on him. And what was the result of that being laid on him. He was resurrected. And he shall see his seed and shall be satisfied. And he said he was put to death, and then he said he's going to see his seed. Isaiah was prophesying resurrection. I didn't know this, mainly because I came to my understanding, and a lot of the stuff I understood about Isaiah 53 came from Earl, so it was pretty much straight down the line. Actually, it was straight down the line. But evidently, some of the Jews had a problem where they thought, when they read Isaiah 53, they thought there was two messiahs. One who died and then one who became king. No, it's just one. It's just one messiah. Just like there's one gospel. And it's the gospel of Christ. The gospel of that messiah. But this, in Isaiah 53, in the Old Testament, showed clearly his substitutionary sacrifice, his suffering sacrifice for the sins of his people, and the fact that they are now justified in him. And God can be just and justified in Christ. Now this week I want to look at the New Testament, but it's the New Testament talking about the Old Testament. Showing Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrifices. The good news, the gospel of what Christ accomplished by his life, his death, and his resurrection. And his gospel is according to the scriptures. Just as God had promised before by his prophets. I want to begin reading in verse 5 of chapter 10, where it says, "Wherefore, When he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. When he saw the Son, when we saw the Son, God said, this is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he came in a body. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. If there wasn't a problem with the first, we wouldn't have needed the second.
Amen.
If there wasn't a problem with the first, the problem with the first wasn't the covenant, it was us. What does it say? Weak through the flesh. The first covenant, the covenant of law, the covenant of Sinai, they broke it while Moses was up on the mountain getting it. He came down and they'd already made a golden calf. The law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good, and we are none of the above. But thank God Christ came to establish the second covenant. The second is a better testament with a better testator who came to do the will of God and is the one who established the better testament. Jesus Christ, the righteous. We needed a new covenant. Actually, everyone needed a new covenant. And these sacrifices which were offered were in type a picture of the sufferings and the sacrifices for sin by Jesus Christ. Then verse 10, after he says, he taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And it does say for all there, but it's in italics and you can leave it off. Once. Now, Walter, I looked at this. By the which way we are sanctified. It's in the perfect tense. And it is passive. The perfect tense is not only, it is past tense. But being in the perfect tense means it's in the past tense and it is only done once. Once. By his offering, we are sanctified. Once, and we are totally and completely passive. It is not by our acceptance of his offering that we are sanctified, as some people teach. It's not by our acknowledging, even. The fact that we know it is not why we're sanctified. We are sanctified by his offering. Now that sanctification will result in some things. You will acknowledge it, and we'll go into that later. But this is perfect tense passive. It was done, and it was done once, just like the offering. Once. Now, to juxtapose that against what happens, verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Excuse me. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. One offering, one time.
Yeah.
That's all. He's not done. There's more things for him to do. But the offering has been made to the Father.
Yeah.
And the Father has accepted him, and he sat down at his right hand, and that's where he is. There are people who have preached, and I have heard, about poor Jesus leaning over the battlements of heaven, hoping somebody will let him have his way. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the Christ of the Bible. Because he continues on, after expecting his enemies be made his footstool, he says, in verse 14, for by one offering, still the same offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And I agree with Jim McClarity when he was here that day. That's worth saying again. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And guess what? I looked at that perfected. It's also in the perfect tense. It's in the past, and it happened only one time, but it's active because he perfected us by his offering. He perfected us. He sanctified us by his offering. Debbie and I watched a show. We were talking about this the other day, and this is kind of what brought it to mind. And we watched this, I guess, I don't know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago. It was a thing on multitasking. People think they can multitask. And some people think they're really good at it. Well, they did a study, and they got these people who thought they were really good multitaskers. And they put them doing one thing, and then they showed them something else. And guess what? It didn't work out the way they thought. People can't multitask. The best we can do is shift our attention from one thing to another. And sometimes we can do it a little quicker than others. Some things require a little more attention than others. Some things require less. God can multitask. Because by one offering, we are both perfected and sanctified. By one offering. And this offering does a whole lot more. By one offering we are sanctified, and by one offering those are sanctified are perfected forever. And by one offering we have been given this new covenant, this new testament. And by one offering all of those who are sanctified and perfected, he goes on to say, verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why? Whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is verse 15, now verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It doesn't say your sins and iniquities are going to stop. We are not perfect in the flesh. We are perfect in Christ. But in this flesh, we will still have sins. We will still have iniquities. Romans chapter 5 has one of my favorite verses. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. It's not blessed is the man who does not sin, because of course that man is blessed. But blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And here it is, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There is no more offering for sin. There is no more offering for sin. Christ Jesus established the second, and he established it with his death, his resurrection, with his very precious blood. And there is no more offering for sin. Because if you need another offering for sin, you're out of luck. There isn't one. There isn't one. If this offering's not good enough to save you, to redeem you, to sanctify you, to perfect you, you're out of luck. Because this is the only offering there is that matters to God the Father. And he accepted it, and the Son sat down. Now, if you've got a problem with the offering, that's your problem, not God's, not Christ's, and not mine. Because this is what I need. Not only is there not another offering, there's no addition to this offering.
Yeah.
There's lots of people want to add something to it. There's lots of, well, yes, that's true, but you have to, whatever. No. This is true, and you will do some things. Because God will work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But you're not adding anything to what he has done. It's not going to happen. And there is no need for another. For his people chosen from before the foundation of the world, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Therefore, brethren, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Christ Jesus is the high priest over the house of God.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, aren't we members of the household of God? Doesn't that make him our high priest?
Amen.
Yes, it does. He is our high priest to God. For everyone this offering was made for, he is the high priest. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There is a result to the work of God in Jesus Christ. I read it last week in Isaiah. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. We can draw near to our Father in heaven, and we can call him our Father. Because our elder brother, the heir of God, has made this so. We can pray to our Father in the faith of Christ and with his Holy Spirit, which he has given to those whom he has called, regenerated and called. And all of this is possible because of the Son. This is the good news. The Son has accomplished what he came to do. Oh, wait a minute, I backed up too far. Hebrews 9 and verse 28 says this, the last verse, right before chapter 10. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There's something coming. There's someone coming. That's good news. He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. To who? Unto them that look for him. That's what Walter was saying last week. The good ground's going to get the good seed, and it's going to come up and it's going to bear fruit. And they are those who are looking for his appearing. They are those who look unto Jesus as he is. He is coming back. Without sin, unto salvation. And you will look to him if he has bore your sins. The last thing is actually further back, chapter 9, Hebrews 9, verse 12. More about what Christ did. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And that "for us" is also in italics if you want to leave it out. He has obtained eternal redemption. This was the offering from the Son to the Father. This is the gospel of God concerning his Son. We are redeemed. His people are redeemed by his offering of his blood to the Father. We are not guilty by his offering. We are sinless by his offering. We're going to remain that way in his sight. We are sanctified by his offering. We are perfected. And I looked that word up. It means completed, accomplished, consummated, consecrated, finished, and fulfilled by his offering. We are justified by his offering, his blood. And in him, we are holy. In him, we are righteous. And this is all by his offering. Now that's what I call multitasking. Christ has done it all. He has paid all the debt I owe. He has given me everything I need to stand before the Father. It's in Him. He's given everything all of His people need to stand before the Father. And to right now be able to call upon the Father. Call Abba, Papa, Father. The Spirit of adoption. And His offering, His blood was shed for many. His offering was made around 2,000 years ago. And it only happened once. There is no more need of an offering for sin. And that's what the writer of Hebrews was talking about here in chapter 10. At the time, probably this book was written, they were still doing it. They were doing it up till 70 AD when the place got destroyed. The temple was still there. You like to think that when the veil was rent in twain, when Christ died, they might have stopped or at least slowed down, but I bet you money they did not. Because they did not know of the new covenant. They did not know what and who Christ is and what He did. And right now, we're at this place. And I gotta quit. I want to read one more thing. That's in Acts chapter 20. Let's see, I got verse 24 here. Yeah. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. But none of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. These are the words of Paul the Apostle. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, and that ministry is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Jesus Christ purchased us with His own blood. He bought us. He owns us. He owns His church. And at the cost was His precious blood. And how do we feed the church of God? We're to preach the gospel. We're to preach the gospel. Be instant in season and out. The good news of the gospel of the grace of God. Testify of the gospel of His grace. If Christ didn't do this, I'm not saved. If Christ didn't do this, no one is saved. And if Christ had done that, which He did, for everyone, everyone would be saved. because it is what he has done, what he offered, and the Father has accepted it. There is only one gospel. There is only one offering. Now the results of it, I'm going to try and talk about next week. Because there are results. By this offering, we are sanctified, we are set apart, we are perfected forever. By that one offering, but that offering has results. That sanctification has results. That perfecting has results. I love the gospel of the grace of God concerning his Son. It's what I need. It's who I need. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place, but most of all thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who went through unimaginable sufferings, who went to his death willingly and knowingly and lovingly, and willingly shed his blood for the remission of sin. And is now calling his people out. Thank you, Lord, for your great salvation. Amen.